Good morning, church. Hey, early happy Thanksgiving. Hey, can't believe it's already here. Thank you so much for being here. Why don't you stand with us? Let's get the room warmed up a little bit this morning. Scott, count us off. 2, 3, 4. Praise is rising.
Praise is rising. Eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for you. We long for you.
When we see you,
we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away.
Day.
In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Here we go.
Washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all.
Thank you so much. It's getting a little warmer in here. All right. Please have a seat for just a moment.
I think Avery Bowes needed that microphone. Praise God. Happy Thanksgiving Sunday, and it's so good to have each and every one of you here, all our guests and our members. The Spirit is alive and well. We've got some things coming up we want to tell you about. The youth really want you to share Asbury out in the community of Little Rock and beyond by buying a t-shirt, a long-sleeved denim shirt, or several things that they have. They've got their little table back there, so before you leave, why don't you support our youth and buy yourself a shirt and spread the good news of Asbury and Jesus around. Food pantry, you'll see that it's going to be open this Tuesday, and we're starting to see that the word's getting around out in the community, which is a great thing, and so we want to be able to help. And thanks to all of you who have brought your family to family boxes, as well as supporting the food pantry. And those boxes are due today, by the way, so we can give them to the families this week. Okay, and holiday schedule, got a lot of things going on. This is Thanksgiving Sunday, which means the next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And so we're going to have a Chrismon dedication service in both of the divine services and the sanctuary. And unfortunately, we didn't have the music leadership to support a service in this space. Lots of folks are taking their holidays with their families, and we understand that. So there will not be a service in this space. But at the same time, at 10:45, we invite you to all go into the sanctuary, and it won't hurt you. You'll enjoy it. It'll be great. It'll take you back to your childhood. And so anyway, want to invite you to that. And then you'll notice the other schedules. Christmas Sunday is December 25th, and we will have just one service that Sunday with the three regular services the night before. So, and then January 3rd, we're back on our regular schedule of all three services. Something that's not on a screen, but something I want to make sure that you all remember. Tomorrow night is charge conference at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary, and we're having a 5:30 church council meeting right before that to approve our budget. However, it's come to our attention, several of you have not turned in your covenants or your pledge cards, your commitment cards, and we really need those to be more effective in our planning of our budget rather than just going out on a lot of faith. We don't mind going on a little bit of faith, but a lot of faith. So please get those in. And if you lost yours or yours didn't arrive or you need one, they're right there on the edge of the, if you'll turn back there, she's waving them in the air. So there's envelopes with your covenants, which list all the ministries that some of you are new and may not realize all the different ministries we offer here that you might want to be involved in, as well as your commitment cards. So that's all that I want to share with you now, except I do want you to be sure and sign the attendance register and greet one another in the love of Christ.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
I save my feet. Ooh, oh Lord, my God, to you I give my everything.
My everything.
Oh Lord, my God, to you I give my life.
Come on, sing it out.
Let the praises ring. Ooh, let the praises ring. Ooh, let the praises ring.
All right. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated once again. All right. Morning, Amy.
Hi.
So we'll ask our kids to come up. The ones that aren't singing in the other service right now, anyway. Come on, kids, don't be scared.
Hey, guys, good morning. Okay, so I have a question for you, and it's kind of hard. Does anybody know what this is called? Okay. The Horn of Plenty, exactly. And what's another word that we call it sometimes? Cornucopia. Exactly. You guys are so smart. Okay. So our verse this morning, our scripture is Psalm 107, verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. So this is a cornucopia or a horn of plenty. And what do we normally fill it with? Food, right? All the food that we eat at Thanksgiving. What's somebody's favorite Thanksgiving food? Does anybody have a really good food that they like to eat at Thanksgiving?
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie, yeah. A pumpkin pie might not fit in there, but maybe a pumpkin. What else is some good Thanksgiving food? What do you like?
Turkey.
Turkey, yeah. Turkey's a good one. What else is in here? What else do y'all see? We have a little pumpkin. What else do y'all see up here? Corn.
Grapes.
Grapes, yeah, right? So all those good foods that God gives us, right? And so the reason that we have this is to remind us of all of the good blessings that God gives us, all of the food, the ways that he takes care of us every day, and it reminds us that he always fills our needs. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? What's something that you're thankful for? Can anybody think of something that you're thankful for this week? Okay.
Family.
Family, exactly. That's a really good one. What else do we have to be thankful for?
Food.
Food, yeah. Food and family. What else?
Education.
Education. Awesome. Yeah, exactly. So we have a lot of blessings going on in our lives, right? So Thursday is Thanksgiving. So after you get done eating your meal or watching the parade or being with your family, whatever you're going to do, make sure that you take some time to give thanks for God. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. It also says to give thanks to the Lord for his love and his wonderful deeds. So let's be sure to remember to thank him on Thursday, okay? Can everybody pray with me? Lord, we thank you for all of the good gifts you give to us. Most of all, we thank you for your love and for the gift of your son, Jesus. Amen.
As we prepare to go to God in prayer, please look at those names that are printed in the bulletin of our church family, extended family that we want to lift up in prayer at this time. If we could lower the lights and go to God in prayer. Almighty Father, we come into your presence in this moment with hearts so full. For some, their hearts are full of a dull ache that won't go away because it's the holidays and that loved one's just not here. For others, hearts are full because of family members not seen who live so far away or whose schedules seem to limit time to see one another. For others, hearts are full of questions, concerns, with an upcoming move, a change in a job. For others, their hearts are full because they want to know you more and are seeking and loving and hoping with each thought to be nearer to you, O God. And the amazing thing about you, God, is you know all of these feelings, you know all of these thoughts by every single human being, both in the past and in the present, and yes, those lives not yet formed. So God, you are amazing. And for that, today we come into your holy presence and give you thanks. We thank you for giving us the steadiness when our human flesh wants to worry, wants to be in denial. But we give you thanks because your Spirit sustains us and promises to do that if we will just open ourselves and place our confidence in you and trust in you. Forgive us when we are stubborn and oblivious to what you have to offer. Help us, O God, to remember that you are the master designer, and to whom would we ever place greater trust? So, Father, we thank you that you hear our prayer. Be with all those who are suffering. Be with those who are fighting to protect our country and our freedoms. Forgive us when we abuse our freedoms. Forgive us when we are not thankful for those who risk their lives. May we never take life for granted so much that we do not remember the costs and the sacrifices that people give in order for us to enjoy our blessings. So God, we offer this prayer today in the name of the one who gave his all so that we could enjoy all forever. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord, as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to take our tithes and offerings, I want to offer a word of thanks to all of you who have again supported the food pantry and the family-to-family boxes and the many ministries of Asbury. Your gifts are presence, not just presence in a box, but presence of your heart out in the community. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you that even though we are not physically in the place and space of those in dire need, through our giving, our presence is made known. So God, I just pray that these gifts again will be used and entrusted to you, and like the loaves and the fishes, you multiply them and use them far beyond our capacity into your multitude for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eternity in your hand, and you took
carried that cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stay. So what could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation, the Spirit of
people of God said, amen. This morning I'm sharing with you from God's holy word in a different version than I normally read from. I usually read from the Revised Standard Version, but there's a phrase in the text today that caught my eye in the J.B. Phillips translation, and I share it with you now. Taken from Luke 12, 16 through 21, may the people of God be blessed by this reading and hearing of God's holy word. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to store my fruits?' And he said, 'This I will do, I will pull down my barns and build greater barns, and there I will store all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy and eat and drink and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided?' So it is with anyone who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The word of God for the people of God. So this story strikes a chord with all of us. It strikes a chord with all of us because we all work pretty hard. And we work for quite a long time. And then one day we retire. Some of you are already there. And then we look forward to those golden years we hear about. And to the point where we're ready for the golden gates to be with Jesus. Now, what comes to mind immediately in this parable is that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Jesus knows human nature. Jesus knew it then. Jesus knows it now. And we were created not only to survive, but to thrive. We were created to be strong, to be ambitious, and to work towards some viability, to see some sort of result and progress for our efforts. We hope to be successful. And many are. I guess, however, that really depends upon your definition of success. And that is precisely Jesus' point in this parable. The farmer in this story is successful by all means. Who doesn't love to hear a success story? Got a short little roll call here. Albert Einstein. Did you know that he didn't speak a word until he was 4 years old? He didn't read until he was 7. In fact, he was eventually expelled from school altogether. And yet, where would modern physics have been without the life of what many call a genius man? R.H. Macy. That man's gotten a few of my dollars, especially this time of year. They even throw a parade in his honor. But did you know that the man behind the great department store tried to open a business not once, not twice, not three times, but 7 times before his business took off? Bill Gates, Harvard dropout. He had a company called Trafidata with a co-chairperson of Paul Allen. But it was years before Gates actually was able to recover from that adventure and build this global empire we know as Microsoft. Abraham Lincoln, one of most of us beloved presidents of all time. We know a lot about him. His biography is pretty well read throughout the world, but we know about the log cabin. We know about the humble beginnings. But did you know that he started in the army as a captain and left it as a private? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not the normal progression of military, right? And yet, this humble man ended up being one of the most beloved and great presidents of the United States. Sidney Poitier, beloved actor, Oscar winner, has given us some of the greatest performances in the art of acting through the decades. But did you know that after his first audition, the director looked at him and said, "Why don't you give this idea up and go be a dishwasher or something?" J.K. Rowling, before she was rolling in Harry Potter dough, she was single, divorced, had a child, penniless, yet trying to raise the child while going to school and writing a novel. In the span of 5 short years, she went from welfare to wealth. Again, who doesn't love to hear these wonderful success stories? But while we are naturally drawn to these folks, and the farmer in this story as well, Jesus calls this shrewd hero a fool. Now, he does not want us going out and calling one another fools. But Jesus doesn't hesitate to call this man a fool in this story, and there's a reason. Jesus called him a fool to make sure you and I got the message, that we didn't get so enamored with the man's success, that we didn't get so caught up, so tempted to be just like him in every way. Jesus wanted to give us the message that this was not a wise man. And the key phrase, the source of his problem, was this: he thought within himself. You see, that's the temptation when we're striving for success, that you or I have to think within ourselves, excluding the most important character of our life story, that of God. Have a person tell you what they think, and I can tell you who they are. Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man thinketh, so is he." And we know that. We begin thinking certain thoughts, and all of a sudden, our mood has changed. We've gone from being a content, happy person to suddenly being a little bit disgruntled, not very happy with ourselves, not very happy with the world, whatever, whatever. And it was all due to what we were thinking. Powerful thing, this mind of ours. Designed by God to be powerful. God just wants us to focus on the divine thoughts. Here's the heart of the issue: the man's thoughts. "What shall I do? For I have no room to keep my goods and my fruits. I will pull down my barns, and I will bestow all my goods and my fruits." Hear the issue? God was completely ignored in the overall analysis of the man's dilemma. He contemplated without giving a thought to God. And my friends, when you and I start making decisions and living our lives without God as our focus, then Jesus would call you and me fools. Without God, this man's whole character is defined. Without God, he gives no credit, no glory to the divine designer of all that he's cultivated. Think about it. God created the land. God created the grain. God created his body, his mind, gave him his energy, his drive. The man is reckless with his vocabulary. And you know it is true that you and I both can be too. Feeling good about something, all of a sudden we're feeling a little puffed up and we're taking the credit. And suddenly we realize, or maybe not, that we are void of the word that this farmer was void of in his life and in his speaking. And that was the word his, meaning God's, his Lord's. Psalm 24:1 states, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Repeat that with me. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Repeat it like a mantra and believe it and live it. We've all known people who take credit for everything. And then we know a few people who are humble and hardly take credit for anything. I'm going to get a little personal here. Been a preacher for over 30 years. The first 10 or dozen years, when someone would come to me after a Sunday service and shake my hand and say, good message, preacher. Good job. You gave me something I can chew on all week. And no doubt a huge smile would come on my face and I'd say, thank you. And that's where the conversation would end. And I feel pretty good. Go home, maybe have a second drumstick. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Every thought, every feeling, every word, from him, from my God and yours. And I was not giving praise where praise was due. I was not giving glory to God. I was kind of storing it up for maybe when I need to pull it up on a bad day. You see, I mean, I'm going to be brutally honest here. We preachers are in kind of a difficult role. Sometimes it feels like a popularity contest. People come, people don't come because of who the preacher is or how they do. There's churches in this town that still haven't gotten over the preacher that was there for so long that the church kind of took on the persona of the preacher. And that kind of thing is very hard to dissolve in ministry because you're the leader, you're the shepherd. I mean, I get that. But on Sunday mornings, you see all the preparation in the week, and on Saturday night, when I retire, I'm going to experience a Saturday night. I don't now. That's okay. But it's all a part of what I'm trying to say. Many of you look at the message as a performance. And I'm not judging you. I'm going to play it back for you. I didn't get what she was saying today. Did you? I didn't quite get where she was going. She looked a little tired today. She's fired up today. That's a bad color on her. It becomes kind of a performance-oriented thing. And what's bad about that is not only the pressure it puts on me or any other pastor, but what it says about you. Says that your focus is on the pastor and not on your Lord. Because if any or all of those thoughts are going through your mind, you're not in worship. You're not focused on the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? It could be a total difference in your worship experience from now on, as it became for mine. I used to worry terribly. Oh, I bombed. I'd cry to Tony. How'd it do today? That's not what I'm supposed to be to you. It's whether I did great or whether I failed or whether I hit somewhere in between. No. It's about just me being the vessel, the megaphone, and letting God's Spirit and God's Word speak. And it's about you being the recipient of the Spirit that's coming forth. Giving God the glory, the best and first building block to the foundation of our faith. Secondly, the problem with this farmer is in his own behavior, he was robbing himself of his gratitude. The farmer's crops were abundant. He had prospered greatly. The Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits," never entered the farmer's mind. Civic leader asked a wealthy man in the town to make a contribution to a major community development project. And the wealthy man started giving some excuses, one right after another, quite a list. And the civic leader listened for a while and then just looked at the man and said, "But God has blessed you so." To which the wealthy man said to the community leader, "I know. I was there. Wow. I was there." That one sentence was quite the revelation. The man was saying in all reality that the Lord had nothing to do with his present status. Nothing to do with any of it. Oh, God, forgive us when we ever have a moment where we do not realize not only have you given us it all, but you have sent people along the way who have contributed to our lives as to who we are today. The wrong kind of thinking can be the soul's lack of thanking. And the final thing is this: the farmer was a fool because he placed his confidence in his goods, in his material possessions. Because he was not trusting in God, he had created for himself a substitute for God. And that was his riches. In his exuberance to store up all this wealth to make sure that he had plenty for his future, he had neglected to do the thing that was the most important thing of all, and that was to store up for his eternal life. And Jesus was saying the man was a fool for refusing to make at least as much preparation and provision for the eternity he was going to live. We all work hard. We enjoy the party, the eating, drinking, and be merry. And, of course, this time of year, we do it even more. And I don't believe God begrudges those moments of celebration. But I think what God is asking us is to take a good look. When we make all these preparations for all these festivities, are we at least preparing every single day as if that were the day we meet our Maker? Are we living in such a way that we're good to go with that? Are we sharing in such a way that we're good to go with that? Are we loving in such a way that we are good to go with that? We know nothing feels as great as sharing with another and the joy that we feel. Yesterday, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, God gave me two different opportunities. I wasn't looking for them, but there they were. I mean, the Spirit was in me, the Spirit moved me, and I received such joy. I was in a store buying some gift boxes and bows and stuff. I've got to do Christmas wrapping earlier this year. A little boy, couldn't be more than 6 years old, was in the line next to me, and the mom was holding two big birthday balloons. And he said, "Mom, is it almost time yet?" He wanted to know when his party was going to be. And she said, "No, son, not yet, not yet. But we'll get home and it won't be long." And the checkout lady and myself almost in unison said, "Well, happy birthday." And he grins. And I went in my billfold and pulled out a couple of dollars and I gave it to him. His eyes got so big, and he just smiled so big. He hadn't been taught to say thank you. That was okay. I didn't need it after those big eyes and that smile. We wished him happy birthday again, and he went off still smiling. Well, I got out to the car, and I looked down, and I thought, "Oop, I don't have enough gas to get to church tomorrow." I pulled up in the gas station, and I saw out on the median next to the gas station, a homeless man with the sign up. I left my car door open. My purse was inside. I'm always afraid that thing's going to shut on me and lock. I grabbed one of Asbury's blessing bags while all the time walking to the man, looking over my shoulder to make sure nobody's getting in my car. And I gave it to him. And before I could say, "God bless you," he said, "God bless you." And I said, "Yes, God bless you." And I said, "Happy Thanksgiving." We have a tub of those blessing bags, by the way. Won't you please grab one or two, put them in your car where you can see them, because we're going to have more and more people out there in need, and you will see them. Perhaps the greatest way to be thankful this Thanksgiving season is to ask God to give us that awareness of being thankful. What a unique time of year to express our love to God and our thanks and our gratitude for His bounty upon our lives. What a great way to be thankful and to celebrate Thanksgiving. So what I want to say to you today is, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, happy Thanksgiving. Tony hit the slide. There you go. And don't get stuffed. Love you, hon. Celebration singers and band, won't you come forward? What were you, asleep at the wheel? Love you.
We're so glad you're here this morning. We hope you've been blessed with the message through either the music, through the sermon, just couple of reminders real quick. You know, we've got the youth back here with t-shirts for the youth fundraiser and the stewardship packets as well. Sean and Randy back there have the stewardships packets. So once again, we're so glad you're here this morning. I'm going to sing one more song. We hope you'll join us.
I just majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name.
Blessing today. Understand that next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, which means this Sunday, this afternoon, we are gathering to transform this space into an Advent worship space. So I do hope you'll go and grab you some lunch and come back and let's do this together, and then more of us will have more of our afternoon left if we have more people helping. So please come and do that. Church will be open, doesn't matter what time you get here, and let's get this done and do this for the Lord. Please receive the blessing. Oh God, thank you so much. You have blessed us with great abundance. May we go forward now and share with the world your spirit, your grace, your love, that all will know Jesus Christ is the foundation of every reason to be thankful in this world. Amen.
Shout to the Lord.